Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is Jesus praying. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And so it is now 3 days after the day of ascension. On Thursday, we celebrated Jesus ascending into heaven. And now our gospel lesson goes backwards before the cross, before the empty tomb, and we hear about Jesus praying for us. But this is huge. This is a huge part of the ascension of Jesus. Our small catechism says, as our priest Christ pleads and prays for us before the Father, even now he makes intercession. Romans 8, verse 34. Christ is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And to use an odd term, he's the praying God. Jesus prays for us. John 17 is a public prayer. After leaving the upper room where they ate the Passover, probably set in the temple courtyard before heading over to Gethsemane. That was part of the traditions of the Passover evening. And the prayer is prayed in front of the disciples so that they can know and we can know that Jesus prays for us. In the hours before the cross, we were on the mind and in the heart of Jesus. The disciples heard that with their own ears before the suffering started. And after everything was done, after Jesus had risen, they would know that they were prayed for by the one who carried their sin and death, by the one who conquered the grave, by the one who ascended into heaven to reign, by the one who is God and is able to answer our prayers, and by the one whose holy life has purchased and won us. Part of the work of redemption. Redemption means to buy back. Part of the work of redemption, and so it means being saved from what? And the answer is from being part of a human race gone wrong. Saved from what? Saved from all the wandering off. Saved from the breaking of the relationship with God, where prayer would have been a natural part of the life of Adam and Eve. But that is broken in the garden. So there's Adam and Eve hiding behind the bushes, making clothes out of fig trees or fig leaves in order to try and hide something in themselves from God as if he does not see. And then the blaming. You put her here to be with me. And it was the serpent. No excuses actually work. And you say I'm in front of somebody who knows even deeper inside you than you yourself know. And saved from the loss of knowing how to pray. That loss comes from losing the knowing the heart of God. from the wandering off on our own. Most of history is filled with that wandering off. Most of religion is filled with guessing and groping in the dark for who is God and what is he actually like, and saved from all of that stuff the devil likes to see happen. This is what Jesus buys us back from. So the price has to match the place where we had wandered into. So this prayer of John 17 finishes up with Jesus heading to the Garden of Gethsemane and to other prayers that we'd be done with, sweat like great drops of blood falling to the ground, and then to the cross and to the prayers of the forsaken Jesus. And what we need to know out of all of this is we need to know the passionate desire in Jesus to bring us back completely into fellowship and into harmony with God. And that's why it is so important now to have the risen Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the Father on your behalf. The knowledge that Jesus is interceding for us is part of what launches Paul into his great passage on who shall separate us from the love of God. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor powers, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's take a look at the words of the prayer that Jesus prays. And he starts with the word Father, the first word of the prayer. He begins with that relationship word that speaks of who he is and how he is connected with God the Father. And Jesus calls us into his connection with his Father. He teaches us to pray, not Father of Jesus. No, he teaches us to pray our Father, and we belong. And that, by the way, is part of what baptism does. When we are given the name of God and called his own, joined with Jesus in his dying and rising, we belong. Again, verse 1. Father, glorify your Son. And if you've ever studied the use of the word glory and glorify in the Gospel of John, this jumps out. Because the word glory and glorify your Son means nothing else than Jesus going to the cross, where at the cross he carries us in his own flesh. At the cross he carries us sinners, into his place of suffering so he can suffer in our place. Into his death, so that in his dying, he can do away with our sins. And then into his rising, so he can give us his resurrection. And the word glory and glorify, time and time and time again in the Gospel of John, when Jesus uses that word, is talking about the cross. Second verse, Jesus talks about him having authority to give eternal life, and then to all whom you have given him. We'll let the world have everything else. If you have Jesus, that is enough. He has authority to give eternal life. That is something that no power on earth, no government, no governor, since they are very much in the news today, the authorities, no court, no judge, they cannot take away or give this eternal life that is exclusive to Jesus Christ, who is able to override everything that happens in life. And he is able, by his words of salvation, to give us something that the world can't give, the world can't take away. Nothing in life can steal it from us. It's eternal life. And verse 3. This is eternal life. To know you and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's it. To know him is to have eternal life. And that is everything. So, jumping later on to verse 8, Jesus said to his Father, I gave them the words you gave me, and they received them. That is the ultimate power. The word of life that comes from God. Think about back in Genesis when God said, let there be light, and there had to be light. The word of God is that powerful thing. It is that life-giving, sin-forgiving, faith-creating, faith-renewing, faith-strengthening thing that God uses to give spiritual life. Without it, we have nothing. But with that word of God, you have everything. That word of God that tells that in Jesus Christ, sins are forgiven. The resurrection is brought along, and as Jesus connects you to himself, you have something the world cannot take away again, cannot give. It is only in Jesus Christ. And then verse 10. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. There's that word glory again. Jesus is glorified in us. What does that mean? Very often we, in this congregation, we run back to Martin Luther because we find good understandings of things. Luther says that the holiness of God is not that God is simply holy in himself, keeping that holiness for himself, sitting up in heaven being holy, a God who's way up there. No, that holiness is his term. What God does to make us holy, and that is the cross. The glory of God is what God does to make us glorious, and that is the cross. The wisdom of God is what God does to make us wise. You want to guess? Again, that is the cross. And all of these things that come along, Jesus claims his victory, but his victory is your life and your salvation. There's a song, "The Living Lord Sits Down With Us," and we sing it for communion. One of the verses says, "In my forgiveness and new life claims his own victory." And that's what Jesus is all about. As he prays, as he shares the word of God with his disciples, as he gives himself on the cross, the victory is to have you living forever. So know on this day that you are prayed for, and know that you have been being prayed for every single day since Jesus ascended into heaven. And know why you are prayed for, that he deeply and passionately desires to have you forever with him, living forever. In Jesus' name, amen.